She is an Emmy award-winning writer who has worked alongside everyone from Tina Fey to Mindy Kaling on shows like 30 Rock and The Mindy Project. Now, she's in charge of maybe her biggest challenge to date, bringing back Saved by the Bell for 2020 and beyond for the brand new Peacock streaming service. She is Tracy Wigfield. I'm Jerry Strauss, and this is The Laugh Track.
Do you need your weekly comedy fix? Relax while we visit the sitcoms you love, the jokes you remember, the characters you will never forget, and the stars that bring them to you. Sit back. It's The Laugh Track with Jerry Strauss.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to The Laugh Track with Jerry Strauss. He is I am him, and we are here together for another great conversation. So excited to have you, and so excited about what we're about to talk about here. This is a bit of a departure for us, because for the first time, we're talking about someone who has excelled behind the scenes, behind the camera, in the writer's room, really being in charge of the creative direction of some of the great comedies of the past decade. When you go back to her work with Tina Fey, for which she is an award winner. She's got an Emmy in that closet. She also worked extensively with Mindy Kaling on The Mindy Project, and she even had her own show, Great News, that ran for a couple of seasons on NBC. Awesome, awesome resume for such a young talent, such a genius comedic talent as well. And things are about to get real, because she has been given the keys to the castle for one of the great comedic franchises in TV history. We're talking about Saved by the Bell. It's going to be back for a new generation with a new spin on things, a single camera comedy as we go back to Bayside. And it's going to be a Peacock Network, that streaming service that's coming along anytime now. The Saved by the Bell schedule for debut, unfortunately, a bit delayed by this whole pandemic thing, but it's coming really soon. So it was great to speak with Tracy and get the inside scoop on exactly what this show is going to be all about. There's so many questions. What's old? What's new? What will be updated? And what can longtime fans expect to recognize and enjoy? We're going to break it all down for you with Tracy. Want to remind you really quickly, don't forget, we've got our new website up and running, laughtrackpod.com. It's a one-stop shop now, guys. You can go there, check out all the old episodes, check out all the new ones as soon as they are released. You can join our VIP mailing list for free, by the way. And you can connect with our social media, our Facebook group. Please join us there. We're having lots of fun there. And of course, our Twitter account at LaughTrackTV. So get involved. Tell a friend, share, bring joy to the world through The Laugh Track. And without further ado, we're going to bring a little joy to our lives via this conversation with Tracy Wigfield.
The funny thing is that I thought about you when I started the show, because we'd had an interview prior for, I think it was New Jersey Monthly Magazine some time ago.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, she'd probably be somebody just, this is a show about TV comedy. She's got to fit somewhere in there. And I reached out to, I guess it was your assistant. And it was then that I learned, I had no idea prior, that you were involved in bringing Saved by the Bell back, which is mind-blowing. I had no idea that I'd walked into this amazing opportunity to talk about Saved by the Bell, which trumps everything else that this show has done.
Were you a big fan of the show?
I was, you know, and I continue to be.
Yeah.
You know, as I got to the point where I was too old for it, I started to just like it, I guess, in a bit of a different way, and sort of the nostalgia kicked in. And what about you? Because you're younger than I am a little bit, but
So I'm 36, so I'm right in the pocket. It's one of the guys who I'm doing this with, this guy named Franco Barrio, was the like line producer EP of the original show from Miss Bliss through the college years, through the new class, like worked for Peter Engel for 8 years or something. And so he was telling me, he's like, there's usually like two groups of fans. It's like people who are like my age, like early to mid 30s, who are like the target audience of it. And then like people who are like 10 years older than me, who like watched it like hungover in college. Yes. It was like a weird, you know, kind of a weird, dumb show to watch that didn't take too many brain cells.
Yeah, I think I did both, actually. So I enjoyed it for a good long
time. I was obsessed with the show, genuinely. Like, I don't know if I would have been excited to, like, work on a reboot. I can't really even think of that many other shows that I would have been excited about rebooting. This just felt, like, really fun because I was so into it when I was a kid, and I used to make videos with my friends. We, like, wrote a Saved by the Bell movie when we were in, like, sixth grade and couldn't shoot it because we didn't have, like, lighting equipment or access to, like, a beach or lifeguard tower. But we were like so into the idea of Saved by the Bell.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you've gotten to this point. Now, this is a project that I have to believe comes with a lot of stress, pressure, just the idea of taking this thing that people have such an opinion about and have loved so much. Yeah. And now the time has passed and they're more than ready. Do you feel that, or did you consider that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, it's not Star Wars, right? But it's anytime you're taking something that people really liked and messing with it, you're just inviting that criticism that you know you'll get, even if you do, you know, the greatest job possible. And even if you do the greatest job possible, people come to it with so many preconceived notions because they loved it as kids or have, you know, have a prior relationship to it, that you aren't going to be able to please everyone. Because the other scary thing about the way we're doing it is that I wanted to do it as a single camera comedy that's more for like a grown-up audience of people who watched it when they were kids. So tonally, it just is very different. And some people will want just Saved by the Bell again and will be mad that it's not like Fuller House, where they just made more of a show you already liked, you know? So I do know that's just going to be part of, hopefully not all reviews and criticism, but I know there's just going to be like a handful, you know, a group of people that just don't like it, you know, because there's no way to please everybody.
Do you, looking back at what we and the fans of Saved by the Bell from the original days liked about it as in its prime, so to speak, do you then kind of like look into it and say, okay, what are the things about the original Saved by the Bell that people really liked? And is there anything about it that I try to retain? Like, is there any, what was the magic? What was the secret sauce of Saved by the Bell?
I mean, I think for me, I think even when I was watching it in fifth or sixth grade, and it was a show for kids, like they weren't trying to make a smart adult comedy or anything. But I think what was really appealing to me was it was bright and kind of zany and funny in sort of an absurd way. And it was sort of like a very bubblegum, very safe introduction to high school in a way that like when you were in fifth grade, it was like Entourage for fifth graders, right? So it's like safe, sanitized version of what high school is, where everyone's problems are kind of solved in a half hour. And the scariest thing that happens is they drink one beer, or Johnny Dakota offers them a joint, and they immediately say no and do the right thing. And so it was like, I think there were two things I really liked about it. One was that it was characters you like going to high school and in kind of like a fun, safe way. And also, and I think it's like, it was kind of funny and weird in a way too. Like it was, I wrote on 30 Rock for a long time, and I'm not saying Saved by the Bell was a predecessor to 30 Rock in any way, but there, for me, there is a correlation between the kind of comedy that I write and that I like now, you know, 30 Rock, and I wrote on Mindy Project for a while, and I created a show, Great News, for NBC, you know, a kind of like cartoonish kind of comedy that I like. There is some DNA that it shares with Saved by the Bell, with, you know, with how weird it was. And there were episodes that were like after school, especially kind of like grounded episodes about drinking and driving. And then there were episodes where it's just like, yeah, this week, like Screech got struck by lightning and he can like tell the future or whatever. Like it was just like really weird, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that is kind of the core of it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I guess it's so ingrained, at least for me. I watched it so much. I saw it so many times. I don't even think about it as weird, but all you have to do is stop and realize that, like, half the episodes, Zach Morris was able to freeze the entire world, stop time, and talk to us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's been kind of the joy of going back to something, you know, because I worked on a reboot once. The last show I worked on a reboot of Four Weddings and a Funeral. And that wasn't even a reboot. It was like a limited series kind of reimagining of Four Weddings and a Funeral. And it's like, I didn't really have any relationship to that. It was like a movie I thought was fun, was good, that I saw like 10 years prior to taking the job. But this, that I've been so, you know, that was such a huge part of my childhood, getting being able to go back and kind of look at it through an adult 2020 lens has been really fun.
It's interesting because this is a big part of the new Peacock streaming service that's coming out. Right. And you look at sort of a parallel project they have, the reboot of Punky Brewster, which by all accounts thus far kind of looks like what you said before with Full and Fuller House, where they're kind of going for the same type of show and the same vibe.
Yeah.
Was there any pushback or was there any debate about what this show should be?
Yeah, I think they were maybe, like, Universal was maybe bummed that you know, because it's just, it's not a bad idea of how to do a reboot. It's like, here is a show that everyone liked, and now we're going to make it again, but everyone, like, talks about Instagram and stuff. Like, that's a great idea. That's exactly what most people want. Doing a thing in a completely different way is not a guarantee that all the fans of the original are going to be fans of this, you know? My hope, and the studio and network who have been very supportive and are really into what I pitched for the show, like, our hope is that there's enough of a cross-section that this will be successful. But yeah, I mean, I think it is safer to just do, at least, I think originally when I, like, the studio approached me that they had this title, and I had asked about the title a couple of years ago, thinking about maybe doing like a Saved by the Bell movie or something, and it wasn't available, and now it had become available. So they told me, and you know, I pitched them a couple of things that I was like, what if it was like a period thing where it was like single camera in the 90s, which they really didn't like. And then they did, though, get on board with like, yeah, it can be a single camera kind of different, you know, Mean Girls, Clueless style kind of show that, you know, hopefully still has enough ties to the original for fans of that.
How was it, the process of pursuing the original cast members or getting the involvement of whoever you could? Was there a lot of...
Like, a little complicated because I came to it, like, the Universal had the rights to it, and they had previously tried developing it, and then that sort of didn't go forward. And so they had previously developed it, and Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley were attached already. And so then, you know, in my conception of it, I wanted it to be this single camera show about new students. And I really wanted the focus to be kind of like, it's Bayside, and that's what we're taking from the old show. Bayside as this sort of like magical, you know, kind of magical bubble where Bayside style teens who exist in 2020 still exist, but they're, you know, they sort of have, the kids who go to Bayside now sort of have the tone of the kids who went to Bayside then. You'll see it all like works together. But because that was my pitch, it really wanted to focus on the new kids in the school, and it wanted to be a new show about that. And so I really wanted Zach and Kelly in it because the main character is their son. So that was very important to me. And yeah, and it just was kind of talking to them and met with Mark Paul and kind of pitching him my idea and trying to get them on board.
It's awesome. I think back a few, maybe it's more than 5 years ago now, the cast reunion on, I think it was The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh yeah.
Was that kind of a spark, do you think, going back? I mean, I guess before you were involved with the project, that kind of got the ball rolling and got everyone excited to jump back into the Saved by the Bell world again?
There's been, and I think probably around then, it seems like there's been kind of a sort of an interest in Saved by the Bell. Like, they did that reunion on Fallon, I know, got got like a lot of excitement. And then they did those Saved by the Max. Did you know about that? They opened restaurants. I know they did it in Chicago and they did it in LA, and I went to
they
opened up like Max restaurants. And yes, you know, those were like, it seemed like there was a big interest then. And I think that was around the time when I had asked my agent who had the rights to Saved by the Bell, because I was thinking like, I wonder if you could do like a 21 Jump Street style movie, or you know, like kind of like the Brady Bunch movie, which, you know, this show basically became, just because I know just the property a lot of people my age would be interested in.
It's funny you bring up the Brady Bunch movie, which I always kind of look at as a direct predecessor of a lot of these reboots, and the approach of kind of poking fun at itself a lot of the time.
Exactly.
Is that what we're going to see a lot of with this?
Yes, I mean that was a little bit of that's a little bit, I guess, where I got the idea for the show we're doing. I think our show is a little less broad than that. As I remember on that show, it was like they literally thought it was like 1970, right? Like they didn't know who the president was and stuff. Is that right? Am I remembering that right? Like the Brady Bunch kids like went to a high school, but they existed in the 70s or something?
Yeah, they were in the present day, but they were like in their own house and in their own minds. It was still, they dressed the same. The house looked the same.
Yes. So you know what, though? It is pretty, that's pretty similar, actually. So kind of what I wanted to do was, like I was saying, like think about Bayside High and think about the original show. Look at it through the lens of privilege, and thinking about, like, obviously the original show was a show for kids, so that's why it was like a half hour show where, you know, everyone's problems got wrapped up very neatly at the end of it, and they always had a lesson, and things were kind of like simple and, you know, and easy and safe on that show. And, you know, just kind of thinking about, that is sort of true for certain kids who go to school in the Palisades now, who have kind of helicopter parents. And, you know, when they get into trouble, things just kind of get fixed for them. And Saved by the Bell wasn't necessarily a show about super rich kids, but it was kind of a show about good kids who get taken care of and life is kind of easy for. And so the premise of my show is there is a school, Bayside High, which is, you know, a lot of it still looks the same as the school we saw when the show was on. And it is inhabited by, you know, kind of the 2020 version of Saved by the Bell characters. And Zach Morris is the governor of California. And because of some budgeting hot water, he gets into a bunch of low performing schools end up closing. And a bunch of kids from kind of a rougher section of Los Angeles get sent to Bayside High. And so we're able to see Bayside and these, you know, these kind of privileged students who live in a bubble through the perspective of kids whose lives are kind of hard and who, you know, who when they have problems, they don't get easily fixed. That was kind of the core of the idea I went in with.
That's cool. And the thing I also like about the show, at least from what I could surmise from the previews that have been out, is taking a character like A.C. Slater, who was like the big jock and the popular guy in high school for the original show. But those guys don't necessarily always end up with the most success later in life. You know, that's an aspect of that I love in the Cobra Kai, the reboot of the Karate Kid movies, where you see the jock Johnny. Now he's, you know, he's basically a big loser in life in the present day. And we see a little bit of that with A.C. Slater, from what I could tell, that maybe he's not quite where he thought he would be.
Yeah. But sometimes it does work. Like, you wouldn't imagine that that anything except good things would happen to Zach Morris.
Right. Well, he had those SAT scores, so.
Everything just kind of worked out.
Yeah. How deep of a dive are we going to get as we go into this show, as far as just bringing back characters from the past, little details, little Easter eggs? How much fan service is there in your show for the original fans?
We tried to do quite a bit of it. Before I started the writer's room, I like went back and watched every episode, like from Miss Bliss through the college years. I know there's a lot of people who are super obsessed with the show. Actually, one of our writers on staff is this guy named Dashiell Driscoll, who I don't know if you've ever seen Zach Morris's Trash. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Series of videos that's really funny that kind of like cast Zach as like a villain on the show and sort of point out what a monster he was, which was very much in the vibe of the show I was doing. And so we hired him, and he is like an encyclopedia of Saved by the Bell that you would be like, what was Zach's dad's name again? And he would be like, in episode 205, King of the Hill, Zach's dad's name. It's like, he just knows everything about it. And so I think fans will be really happy, like, just because I'm doing it and I have such a love of the show and remember so much of it so vividly. And I'm sure other people do too. We have a lot of stuff, like there's some teacher, like Mr. Dewey's in it. There's like some teachers from the old school. And then we have some of the original cast in it. There's like all of our episode titles are the same as titles of old episodes of the show. And a lot of like when we'd be breaking stories, sort of a fun exercise we would do would be what were like ways stories started on Saved by the Bell, and then kind of doing a 2020 version of them. Or sometimes sort of the fun of the premise is like, we'll do an episode where the kids at the new school are, a bunch of iPads got stolen, and some of the kids from who came in new are accused of doing it. And they're sort of, you know, struggling with kind of racial identity stuff. And then the B story is two of the Bayside kids both fell in love with the same girl and don't know it and just can't figure it out for like 15 minutes of the episode, which basically happened on a Saved by the Bell episode. So
right.
You know, kind of the fun of the premise is getting to juxtapose stupid Saturday morning stories with kind of heavier stories that, you know, don't really go together, and trying to make it work tonally.
Is this show, as the buzz continues to build and grow for it, are you anticipating this to be a show where like Hollywood, like all the way up to the A-list people are, fighting to get a guest spot on this show? Because this seems like for a whole generation, like everyone would want to be on this, I have to believe.
Who knows? I think it's always impossible in the first season of any show to get anyone to do anything ever. But success, that would be wonderful. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard. Like, I've always found on the first season of every show I've done is like, when people don't know what it is yet, you know, no one trusts you until they've seen the thing. And it was the same on 30 Rock too, that it was like, what, after season two, like there weren't really like crazy guest stars in the first season. And then like, I think the premiere of season two, Oprah was like, I'll be on one. Like, it's just a giant jump once it's acknowledged as a good thing that cool people are doing. But right now, no, I don't think any famous people, I don't think Brad Pitt wants to be on it.
Oh.
Maybe he does. Maybe next year.
Well, hey, you keep the phone lines open. Yeah. But look, this is so exciting for Saved by the Bell fans. I mean, I'm really excited because I want to see Mr. Dewey in 2020.
Yeah, he's still very funny.
That's fantastic. So how is this rollout going to happen? I think, you know, a lot of people are still kind of unsure of how these shows are going to play out in Peacock. Is this going to be like a batch release?
Production is halted right now because coronavirus. And so we've shot our first 7 episodes and are waiting until productions can resume. And no one knows when that is, to shoot the last 3 of this season. So, you know, I don't know what that means for, yeah, I just haven't been told really what that means for when we'll premiere and how.
Gotcha. Well, like the rest of the world, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to all of entertainment resuming normalcy of some sort, but I think this will be at the top of a lot of people's lists when we will eventually be able to see it. And Tracy, thank you so much again for talking to us. Essentially, this big preview of what's going to be a super buzzworthy show on a super buzzworthy new streaming network. Any other big teases you want to give us? Anything that might be a seductive way to keep people psyched for this show as we wait for it? That was a weird way to phrase it, but you know what I mean. I'm very excited about this.
I mean, I think exactly what you're saying. Like, I think there are hopefully enough Easter eggs and old cast and old callbacks to things they loved about the original show to get fans of the original excited. And also, I think if you have never seen the original show or weren't a fan of it, I think there's something for you too. It's a high school comedy that sort of is absurd and I think has a lot to offer to people, whether they watch the original or not.
Cool. Are you looking to have people continue to follow you on social media or anywhere in particular for updates and news on the show and things that you're doing?
I have a Twitter that I don't go on, and I have an Instagram that is just pictures of my baby. Do they want to follow that?
You've got the best behaved baby I've ever heard.
I know. Can you believe? She's been so good. I think I'm Tracy Wakefield at both.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking out for that. And of course, whenever Peacock releases news, you can follow all their social media platforms as well. Again, Tracy, thanks so much. It was awesome catching up with you about this. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much, too.
All right. What an episode. What a chat we had. Tracy Wakefield, one of the coolest people in Hollywood, has to be one of the coolest people in Hollywood. And so much fun to catch up with her. Before we let you out of here, check out this quick message from our new friends. We're supporting them. We're in their corner. They're doing great things. No Kid Hungry.
Because of the coronavirus, schools have closed nationwide, and kids in need are missing nearly 34 million school meals every day. For many, it's the only healthy food they might get in a given day. No Kid Hungry has a plan to feed these kids, but they need your help. Donate now at nokidhungry.org to help feed America's children during this crisis and in the months to come. That's nokidhungry.org. Thanks.
Guys, the Laugh Track podcast is produced and hosted by me, Jerry Strauss, with editing and additional production by our buddy Steve Prentice. We will be expanding in the next few weeks, guys, so keep a lookout for all kinds of big announcements. In the meantime, if you want to drop me a line, please do so. Let me know what you think of the show. Comments, questions, complaints, suggestions, just do so, please. You can reach me at laughtrackpod at outlook.com, old-fashioned email. And Twitter. We are on Twitter, so please hit us up there. Laugh Track TV is the handle there. And again, our Facebook page as well. The Laugh Track with Jerry Strauss Facebook page is out there. We encourage you to like it and stay in touch with us that way as well. And please, wherever you get your podcast, wherever, however you are hearing this show, please subscribe. It'll ease you of the responsibility of having to remember when this show comes out, having to download it. It's going to be there automatically for you as soon as we drop new episodes. So go ahead. It's free. There's no better bargain than free. So please do that. And while you're out there, please consider leaving a review. That helps us greatly. And tell a friend. Tell two. Tell as many people as you think might be interested in this show. We have a lot of fun here. We want more and more people to join in on that fun. Until next time, folks, thank you so much for checking us out. I am Jerry Strauss. Stay safe out there, stay well, and we'll see you next time.